Kumlena Black Gemara, we are up to Dav Kuf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, it's Gimel Tammuz. The Mishnah, but 10 lines from the top. So, HaChoshesh B'Shinov. If somebody has issues with their teeth, Lo Yigma Behenes HaChayetz. You should not go ahead and drink vinegar, which is therapeutic for your teeth, because then it's obvious you're doing it for the sake of medicine, and we don't want to do that, as we've learned the last few days. He can eat normally and dip his food. In those days, whenever they ate a meal, they used to dip everything, like we learned by Pesach. So you dip in your normal way your bread in the vinegar, and you'll have a soothing effect of the vinegar without looking like you're taking it as a medicine. If it happens to heal you, good on you. If you have issues with your loins, you shouldn't smear yayin v'chaymetz, wine or vinegar, on it, because normally people don't do that unless it's therapeutic. Again, it looks like medicine. Avosachu is a shemen. Oil you could put there, because oil is not something that people generally use to soothe their pains from the loins. Lay shemen vered. Rose oil from roses as well, that they shouldn't use, because it's very expensive, and nobody would use a stamp to anoint themselves. So it's obvious you're doing it for medicine. B'nei Melachim, but if you're a royal family, you know, you're wealthy, Sachin Shema Vela Makasein, they could use this oil from roses. Shekein Darkon Losach B'chol, because they would do that even during the week. And in fact, even if they're not sick, they stop, they used to massage themselves, anoint themselves with that rose oil, because they can afford it. So for them, it doesn't appear to be medicine. Comes along Rav Shimon and says the most beautiful words, Kol Yisro B'nei Melachim Heim. All Yidden are part of the royal family, and if it's good for them, it's good for us. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So you're being very lenient for this reason. Says the Gemara, Rami led of Acha Aricha. Rav Acha Aricha once asked, who was Acha Aricha, the tall one? Who? Rav Acha Bar Papa. He once asked about who? Tanan, in our Mishnah, it says, HaChoshesh B'Shinov, if you have issues with the teeth, Lo Yigma Zachemes. Don't drink vinegar. In other words, vinegar is actually beneficial. But let me ask, the memory of the chaim, it's ma'alil, shenayim, the vinegar is good for your teeth. But Ksiv, there's a clear pasuk with a navi, it represents Eden, he says it should be kechaimetz la shenayim, like vinegar, which is very acidic, to your teeth. Ucha oshen le naim, like smoke, to your eyes. So in other words, vinegar is bad for your teeth. Why does our Mishnah seem to be saying that it's beneficial? So we have another rant, like Kasha. If the vinegar came as an extract from a grape that was never ripe, was an unripe grape, then it's bad for your teeth. But if it was a ripe grape and was wine, and then eventually fermented, became vinegar, so it's wine vinegar, that actually is beneficial. Or, if somebody can mute themselves. Another answer is, that they are both vinegar. Hod ikamaka, hod lekamaka. Depends if there's a wound by your teeth as well or not. Ikamaka, if there's a wound by your teeth as well, musi, it will heal. Lekamaka, but if there's no wound, so the vinegar is not actively doing anything for the wound, only work on your teeth, and marfi, it weakens your teeth and your gums, and it's bad for you. Then the Mishnah says, lo yigma behenes achaymetz. The Mishnah says that you should not swallow the vinegar. But Tanya, we learned elsewhere, when do we say that on Shabbos you shouldn't swallow vinegar because it looks like medicine if you use it to gargle your mouth? La yigma pilot. If you just gargle with the vinegar and then you spit it out, then it's obviously not using it to drink it. You're using it for medicine, and that's forbidden. Avol megameh pilot. But you're allowed to, it seems, to swallow. And yet our Mishnah says that you shouldn't swallow vinegar because it looks like medicine. So we have a little contradiction here, or Bryce in the Mishnah. Omar Abai gives an answer. Kitna nami masnisin. When our Mishnah says you shouldn't swallow it, it's talking about not swallowing it. Megameh pilot. It's talking about you put it in your mouth, you gargle, and then you spit it out. That's what our Mishnah means when it says you shouldn't do it. But if you drink it, fine. Tana. So there's no. That's how we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rava wants to give another answer before he's been repudiated. Rava, I feel tame megabeh boilet. If you want, I can argue that our Mishnah is talking about Balea, you can actually swallow it. So how come the Braisa says he can't? Kan leaf nativel, if you didn't yet have your meal, the meal is called tivel because everything they ate, they used to dip. Here you have before the meal, and they'll think, this is part of the meal. However, kan la'acha tibul, and that's what the Braisa is talking about. And kan la'acha tibul, But in our Mishnah, talking about after you finish your dipping, you're eating, and now you're taking vinegar, then it's clear that it's for medicine. You shouldn't do that. The Neima says the Gemara, according to Rava, the Lifnei Kibul Shari, that on Shabbos you tell me you can drink the vinegar before your meal. Then according to Rava's opinion that he believes that you can't have something that's usher part of Shabbos and mut to the other part, then Shari is permitted, and Lacha Tibul Ami Shari should also be permitted even after your meal. The Shamin Le Rava, but you know that Rava holds the Isle Hoyle. He has an interesting concept called Hoyle, since. And how does it play out? The Amar Rava, Rava says, Lekam Midi, we don't find anything. The B'Shabbos Shodi, B'Yam Kim Vasa, can't be that Shabbos, something we're talking about there about going to the mikveh. You're not allowed to toivel kalim on Shabbos, because it's clear why you're toiveling it to fixing the kalim and that also. But a person who has to go to the mikveh, let's say on Shabbos, at Tfilas Mitzvah or something, a woman, whatever, is allowed to go on Shabbos. Why? Because we can say, who said you're doing it to fix yourself up? Maybe you're doing it to cool yourself down. So, and on Shabbos, allowed to. So the question is, what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to take a bath. Are you allowed to go to the mikveh, let's say Tfilas Mitzvah on Yom Kippur? It wouldn't be Asa Mahatayla because it's not a bath. You're not taking it to clean yourself. But the Rabbanan is also or not. So the Rava says, no, it cannot be that on Shabbos something should be mutter on your kippur, it should be Asa. Dharma Rava lekamidi the Bishabbos Shadi in Kippur Asa. Hoyle the Bishabbos Shadi, Hoyle. Since it's mutter on Shabbos, then you kippur not Mishadi. And the same thing on Shabbos itself. You can't have part of Shabbos Asa and part of Shabbos mutter. So how could Rava say before the meal it's mutter and after meal it's Asa? It can't be. Says, what are you right? Harder Bay Rava Mahach. Rava changed his mind about his answer, where he said over here, this answer, that it depends if it's before the meal or after the meal. He decided that later on he changed his mind, and he'll agree with Abaya that Al Mishnah is talking about when he says you shouldn't do it, he's talking about if you're gargling your mouth and spitting it out. Says the Gemara, Mimai the Mahach Harder Bay Dilmahi Harder Bay. How do you know which one he changed his mind from? Maybe he changed his mind from one Yom Kippur, and he maintained his opinion here in Al Mishnah. He doesn't believe in Hoyle anymore. So now, like that time we learned. We learned in Ebraisa, Kol Chayovit Tfilas Toivin, all those who are Chayiv Tfilas, let's say Tfilas Mitzah, may go to the mikveh, Kedarka normally, Bain Betishavav, Bain Beyem Kippurim. It says clearly you can go in Yom Kippur, so Rava was right regarding this Hoyle. So it must be that Rava changed his mind here in our Mishnah itself. Says in Mordechai, Hachoshes, Bemosnov, Tosis says, by the way, that the Tisha B'Av works out to be more strictly Yom Kippur, because on Tisha B'Av we will not allow you to go to mikveh even if you have to, as the Gemara brings that it can't be that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he's going to the Tefillah. it's a mitzvah, so he says Kedai, it's worthy to lose that mitzvah and not to go on Tisha B'Av to the mikveh. What do you call it? Hachoshes b'masnav, if somebody has issues with their loins, and talking about the smearing oil, and Abshima said that all the Yidin are b'nei malachim, and therefore everybody can use oil from roses. So who's the halacha like? Omer Abba Bazav, the Omer Rav, halacha k'Rav Shimon. Here, the halacha k'Rav Shimon, we are lenient, we allow that what? All the Yidin are b'nei malachim. We're all part of the royal family. Says the Gemara, the Gemara has an interesting view over here, that if you're mekel in something like this, like Rav Shimon, that means you generally have a very lenient attitude to Shabbos, to all the dinim of Shabbos. And Noah's including Dov Hashem Eskavin, and the Malach Hashem Tzich Leguf, and all those things. And so it seems if Rav rules like Rav Shimon, in this case, in this instance, he would rule generally on Shabbos in a lenient way. Says the Gemara, this cloth that you use as a bottle stopper, you're not allowed to squeeze it in on Yom Tov because you're wringing out the wine, whatever's there, even though it was totally unintentional, which means it's a davash emes kavan, and yet he rules that it's aser, which seems he follows Rabbi Yehuda. So if your general attitude is to be lenient on Shabbos when it comes to, say, smearing oil from roses, you should also be lenient on Shabbos, davash emes kavan, because it seems it was a general attitude to the dinim of Shabbos. It's not, you can't just take each case on its merits. Interesting, I'm not sure exactly why the Gemara thinks so, that you have to, if you hold this way over here, you have to hold the same thing over there, but that's what the Gemara seems to be linking everything together. So the Gemara, that doesn't prove anything. Maybe that Rav is, follows the lenient path, but remember, Rav Shimon agrees that if you did a davar she miskaven, the psik reisha, which is inevitable, then it's also here when you're putting the bottle stopper in, you're going to wring out the wine. That's what happens. But he after Rav Shimon moed, the Bible, Rav Shimon, they both say moed Rav Shimon psik reisha layomus. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Chiya Barabashi, Barashi, didn't Rav Chiya the son of Ashi say Omer Rav halacha k'Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. So Rav himself said, "Alok Rav Yehuda, Davish Gavim is also." Rav Chana Ben Ami Mishmal Alok Rav Shimon, Rav Chiya Bar Avin Masn Allah, and Shmuel says, "Alok Rav Shimon." Furthermore, Rav Chiya Bar Avin, and it's difficult to understand the Gemara by this attitude thing because Shmuel holds that Davish Emes Gavim Mutter, but yet when it comes to Malachish and Tzich LeGufa, Shmuel holds that Davish Emes Gavim is actually Aser. Malachish and Tzich LeGufa is actually Aser. So we see that we don't say. There's one attitude for everything. You know, every machlekes is different. But anyway, says the Gemara Vayta. Another version of this argument is that, in fact, not that people said in the name of Rav Shmuel, but actually straight out. Rav Malach Rav Yehuda, Shmuel Malach Rav Shimon. So we see Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. Elam Rav Aniva Rishu B'Chabura. I am the lion amongst our group. Was Targimna we translate interpreted Umanu, who is the lion of Chibar Avin. Halacha Rav Shimon, in this case, Rav holds like Rav Shimon, but not because he takes a lighter view of Shabbos generally, but because V'lav Metameh, for a different reason altogether. My halacha ke Rav Shimon V'lav Metameh. What do you mean halacha Rav Shimon that you can use oil from roses, but not for the reason that he gives? Ilei halacha ke Rav Shimon D'shay. Then you mean to say halacha Rav Shimon that you're permitted to use oil from roses of V'lav Metameh, but not for his reason? Could Ilei Rav Shimon, so if you hold Masi, it's effective, and therefore it's a medicine, it's a medicine, and the Chiddush is. That what? That that you're allowed to, and good. Rav Shimon says it's not right to say for certain group of people. You know, we don't want to have an apartheid here. That some people can do something in Shabbos, some people can't do something in Shabbos. It's therapeutic, and if the royal family can do it, everybody can do it. But Rav said, Rav hold lamasi, it's not effective. It doesn't do anything. So who cares? Rav said the reason why I allow everybody to do it is not because I hold that if it would have been beneficial. Then for those people who do it, who don't look like it's medicine, like the royal family, fine, because they do it even during the week when it's not medicinal, and everybody else can't. But I hold that it doesn't do anything. It's a myth, and therefore he allows it on Shabbos. Rambam, since it says b'nei melachim that the royal family sochin al gabe masein, makasein shemen vede, the royal family would have good doctors, and if they this is habitually what they do, then obviously miklal demasi. They're not fools, and they have they have access to the best doctors. There's no way they'll do these kind of voodoo stuff. So obviously it's real. So what do you mean? So what does Rav say? I agree with Rav Shimon that everybody can use it, but not for his reason. Ella halacha Rav Shimon the shari. We agree that Rav says halacha Rav Shimon, you're allowed to use oil from roses, but lav metameh, not for the reason that he gives. Why? The Rav Shimon saw Rav Shimon holds afagav the lashchiach. Rav Shimon holds that even. That it's very rare, this thing here, because it's extremely expensive. So anyone who uses it is very clear, it's patently clear, you're doing it for medicinal purposes. Nevertheless, I say that every Jew is entitled to have the best doctors and the best medicine, even though you can't afford it, because all the Yidna b'nei melachim heim, that's what he holds. And Rabbi Yehuda, who argues with Rabbi Shimon, says, no, since it's so clear that it's for therapy, you're not allowed to do that. Comes along Rav and he says, Ish chiyach in, that if... It depends. If it's common, you're allowed to use it because everybody uses it. So therefore, it doesn't seem to be used only for therapy. You can use it down for massage or something. The but if it's very rare and expensive, I would agree you're not allowed to. But uva asa that I, where I've lived in his region, shchiach moshcha devarda, that kind of oil from roses was very common. So therefore, Rav says you're allowed to. Hadn aloch shmeinu shrotzim. Now starts the next page. We have a bunch of little short prakim. Okay, says the Gemara, the Eilu, now we're talking about another one of the melachas, which is making a permanent knot, or making, or untying a permanent knot. The Eilu Ksharim Shechayom Nalein Keshe, the following knots are considered permanent, and you are Chayim HaTayra, if you did them, is a Hagamal, Keshe, Alein Keshe, Hagamalim, the knot that you use for camels, the Gemara will explain soon what that is, the Keshen HaSafonim, and the knot that are used for ships by the sailors, as we'll see later, Say was not to shame shu chayiv al kishurim. And I'm just telling you that you're chayiv just for tying it together. Kahu, so too chayiv al teder. If there's a permanent knot, and you go ahead and you you undo it, you untie it, you unravel it, that's also asa. Now Meir says, what's the definition of a permanent knot or not a permanent knot? Kol kesher shu yoch latida ba'achem yodav. Any knot that you can untie with one hand ain chayiv lo. It means it's pretty loose. And therefore, you are not chai for it. So now the Gemara asks, "My kesher hakmalin v'kesher hasafoni. What is this knot used by for camels or by camel riders? And what is this sailor's knot? Ilema kitra, the katri bezama v'kitra, the katri bistrida. If we're talking about, you know, there's a ring around in, by a camel's ring in his nose, and the knot that you put through that ring, and you know you knot it so that when you want to tie the camel down to a post." You, on the other end, you tie that, or when you want to ship and you want to tie it down in the port as well. So you have a hook in front of the ship, and you put this in the front of that, in the front of that, to for an anchor. Nu hai kesher she'ein kayam hu. That knot is constantly undone. Every time you want the camel to move, you untie it. So any knot that you make, even though it's a strong knot, but the intention is to undo it, then it's not considered a permanent knot. Big machleg neshoinim, when we say that you have permanent knot, doesn't mean permanent just for the Shabbos, permanent for a longer time. How long does that have to be permanent? Ela kitra de zama gufe. We're talking about the knot that you use for the ring itself, or the isri de gufe. We're talking about the knot that you use for the ring on the ship itself. And this is what keeps the ring in place. That knot is permanent. You never take the ring off. So that is permanent. Not the rope that you tie from externally to that ring. Rameya says, kol kesher, anything you can open with one hand. What about a bow? A bow which is very easy to undo, but it's pretty permanent. How do we view that? Is tying it, Rameya, is the vort of Rameya. It's so easy to just, you know, pull it with one hand, and that's it. Even though it's a bow, it's also forbidden, very easy to open. Because it's not, the reason why if you open one hand means it's not tight. But a bow you can actually make very tight. As long as you don't pull it, it stays there. Teiku, questionable. Says the Gemara, Mishnah, yesh loch shari, there are knots, she'ein chayovin aleyin, there are knots that you are not liable for. Kikesher hagamolin, kikesher asafonin. We just said, not the actual knot they use to hold the ring down, but the rope that you externally attach to the ring, that is meant to be opened. So that, therefore, you're not chayiv achatas. But it sounds like you're still osa midraban. And then he says, l'chatchile kasheres isha, a woman can tie miftach chalukah, like a collar, she has a few strings. Rashi uses an interesting example. He says, like the galochim, the priests would have on their collars, they have these two strands sticking out, and they would take the strand from the right side and put it over the left shoulder, and the one from the left side. So it's more than just a strand, it was much thicker, and put it on the right side. and they would tie it, and every day they would untie it. So therefore, you're allowed to do that, because these strands are meant to be untied. So that's a knot that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And then he says here, the chutei sevacha, and the strings of a hat, and Vishal Paskaya, or a belt, a thick belt that they had around them. It had strings on the ends. They used to tie them together, and they used to then untie them. So it was meant to be tied and untied. Or a true mandal sandal. You have shoes with laces. You tie them, but your intention is to untie them later. Or sandal. The noid is yayin v'shemen, or barrels of wine and oil. The kideda shel basar, or a pot. A pot of meat, and they used to tie it with a cloth on top. But that is eventually, when you want to eat, you're going to untie it. So all of these kind of knots are permitted, because they're meant to be untied pretty soon. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Mekoshin Lifnei HaBehema, that you're allowed to take a rope across the doorway, the entrance of your house, or the entrance of the barn, B'shul Shalai Teitze, you don't want the animal to escape. You're allowed to do that as well, and we'll explain later on why he says you're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, there seems to be a contradiction in the Mishnah. You start off saying, yes, sounds like you're not chayiv, which means there's no prohibition, but a yisurika, there's still forbidden. And then the Hadotan, then he tells, that a woman can untie her by the collar strings, from the, and you can tie it on top, no problem. So which one is it? Is it mutter or asa midrabban? There are different grades. Yes, the Mishnah is talking about two different kinds of knots. Yes, Kshadin. The first Mishnah was knots that are from the Torah. And this Mishnah covers a knot which is asim midrabbanon and a knot which is even mutter drabban. Yes, Kshadin. There are knots. Ain chayavin alein, in a chayav, could catch it, hagam molin, like a knot by camels, who catches one, and then the sailor's knot. My new kitra, what is that? That's the rope, the katri bezama, that you attach to the ring, the kitra, the katri bezrida, the ring of the camel, the nose, or the ring of the ship. Al chayuva de leka, there's no isa from the Torah, ha yisurika, but mirabonus l nisa. But the yesh, there are other instances, shimutron achila, tatchilamut. My new, what is that? Koshedes mifache chaluka. That if you to tie your collar together, the right and left side, then you're allowed to, because that's definitely intended to be opened soon. And that's how we learn the Mishnah. Okay, I guess we'll stop here and we will continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.